Hey guys, I'm your host, Tara A. Devlin, and welcome to this week's episode of Kowabana, True Japanese Scary Stories from Around the Internet. Welcome to October. That means one thing. It's now Spooktober over on the Kowabana Patreon. For every single day this month, you can get an exclusive bonus story you won't hear anywhere else. You can listen to all 31 stories for as little as $1, so head over to patreon.com/Tara A. Devlin to check it out and see what other benefits we have on offer as well. That's patreon.com/Tara A. Devlin. To break in October, we're starting the month with another massive classic creepypasta. You've heard of Kankandala. You've heard of Hashaku-sama. You've no doubt heard of the Uzu doll. Now, welcome Jinkan to the fold. Who or what is the Jinkan? Let's just say you don't ever want to run into it, but let's head right on in and uncover its terrifying story. As you might expect, this one's called Jinkan. You must immediately kill any crow that attacks a human. But I've never seen a crow do that. Crows fly away when people get close, right? If you've never seen it, then fine. But if you do, you must kill it immediately. Why? I was still a child at the time. A time I still enjoyed my grandfather's fairy tales. He told me a story right as I was about to drift off to sleep. He said that if a crow attacks a human, you must kill it right away. When I asked him why, he fell silent, and I soon fell asleep. When I woke up the next morning, I strangely didn't remember it. I didn't ask him about it again. There's a foreign monster called a basilisk. It's pretty famous from a story about wizards or something. That was how I found out about it too. Have you heard of a similar monster from the Tohoku region? To say they're similar might be the wrong phrase to use, but at any rate, they both come about in the same manner. I'm from a town in Tohoku, so I don't know a whole lot about the discrimination of buraku villages in Kansai. People use the term something something buraku quite commonly, and of course they don't mean it in a discriminatory way. They just use it as a place name. This introduction has gotten a little lengthy, but there's a tale told only in the small buraku village I live in. And that tale is about how you must immediately kill a crow that attacks a human. This story goes all the way back to when I was in high school. We found a crow that attacks someone. We're heading out now to kill it, so you come help us too. No way. I'm tired from club activities. You should just leave the crow alone. We can't. All the men in the village are out searching for it. You should help us too. Well, if my elderly grandpa was going, I couldn't exactly stay home and not go. With that in mind, I put on some thick working gloves and my grandpa passed me a large grass sickle. He stank of sweat and that unique smell you get from working in the fields all day long. Gramps, you need to shower after you've been working in the fields. You stink. Because I was working with fertilizer today. I can't help that I smell. A shower's not going to get rid of that. We chatted as we walked to the nearby forest. The country roads at that time smelt of fresh grass and the stench of fertilizer mixed together. Stench really was the perfect word for it. Oh, you're finally here. We still haven't found the crow, so come help us out. The first person we found when we arrived at the forest was the village chief, Soltome-san. Everyone affectionately called him Tomekitsuan. Tomekitsuan, good evening. Did you find the crow in this forest? What? Your grandfather didn't tell you yet. Some children were attacked here at lunchtime. It seemed that some elementary students had been playing tag in the forest, it being the summer holidays after all, and a crow had attacked them. I had often played in that forest myself when I was younger. The grass used to reach the same height as my head then, but now it only reached my chest. My grandfather bowed his head lightly towards the chief and asked how things were going. Tomekitsuan, everyone from the village that can come is here, right? Yet, with all this bait, the crow still hasn't attacked? If it bothered to attack someone, then it's gotta be a dumb bird. That's right. It hid quickly after attacking the children. We haven't seen it since. Well, there's no reason to panic yet. If it really is a crow that attacks people, it won't be able to hold out for much longer. By the sounds of it, the crow was a damn fool. Whenever it came across a human, it would attack them like it was mad. It wouldn't leave you alone, even if you tried to swat it away, so the sickle was apparently the easiest way to deal with it. Tomekitsuan, why do we have to kill the crow? Can't we just leave it be? I asked Gramps about it, but he wouldn't tell me anything. Well, we can tell you, but you're still in school, right? You shouldn't worry yourself about such things. But we can't explain it to you. You have to see it with your own eyes. I have to see it? The crow? No. How can I put it? At any rate, we can't tell you about it. If you're still living here when you turn 20, then we'll show you. Tomekitsuan and I headed further into the forest looking for the crow. My grandfather went a different way. As we got further in, I could no longer smell the manure from the fields, and the area filled with the unique scent of cool grass as evening fell. The smell was pleasant and refreshing to my tired body from school club activities. A cool wind blew, and because it wasn't night yet, the bugs continued to cry loudly as well. That was why I didn't sense any danger at all. If I was to say one way or the other, that time was like recovery for my tired body. However, a scream nearby soon broke the mood.
What on earth? You bitch! You absolute fool!
The voice was coming from the east, in almost the exact opposite direction to the setting sun.
That's Gramps!
Hmm? What happened? Sounds like he's just over there.
Hey, Gramps, what's wrong?
I pushed my way through the grass, heading east. I didn't find my grandfather, but it was the only time in my life that I'd ever heard him swear like that, so I knew something strange was up.
They're dead! Gramps, this person is dead!
The one who screamed this was, of course, me. Not in my wildest dreams did I expect to see a dead body hanging from a tree. I wondered how long it had been since the person killed themselves. The body was bald and so badly decomposed that the only way to tell it was a woman was by the clothes she was wearing. The refreshing smell of grass? What an idiot I'd been for thinking that. It was the first decomposing body I'd ever smelt. It smelt bad, like something rotten. My grandfather continued hurling abuse at the dead body as it swung.
You fool! Outsider! Idiot!
Gramps, what are you doing? She's already dead.
Ugh!
Tomekitsuan stepped past me as I stood frozen on the spot. I'd been panicking so much that I completely forgot that he was there. He said nothing as he looked at the swinging body, but then he threw his sickle at it. Then he got angry as well.
What on earth is going on? She's already dead. What should we do?
This fool.
It's already too late. This idiot is the reason we can't find the crow. It's all her fault. I was only a high school kid, unable to judge what was right and what was wrong. Gradually, the other villagers came over,
having heard my grandfather yelling. Some of them yelled just like he did, while others stood frozen and just looked at the dead body hanging from the tree like me. Night's about to fall. It's probably going to happen tomorrow. Everyone, make sure you find a spider before the night is out. Tomekitsuan was so worked up that saliva spat from his mouth as he spoke. We all left the forest and then headed home. My father was waiting for me at the front door when we got back. He'd apparently just gotten home from work and was still in his suit. My grandfather told him what was going on, and all he said was, "We'll look for a spider first thing in the morning." He didn't say a thing to me. There were so many things I wanted to ask, yet I couldn't. The next morning, my father woke me up at 5 a.m. I might have been a high school student from the countryside, but that was no time to be waking up. "We're heading to Dosukoi Shrine." It was a silly name, but that was what everyone called it. Dosukoi Shrine. All the children in the village had been there at least once to take part in sumo matches, and so everyone called it Dosukoi Shrine. "Is this about yesterday?" "Yeah, about the crow that attacked someone. It's at Dosukoi Shrine. You're still young and I didn't want to scare you, but well, 20 is just a rough estimate. You're oddly mature for your age, so I think it'll be fine to show you." "Dad, aren't you going to work today?" "Nope. You should take today off from your club activities too." He tossed a wet towel at my face. Seemed I wouldn't even have time to use the bathroom. I quickly got dressed and we left for the shrine. Normally, being woken up at 5 a.m. or being told to skip club when the next tournament was so close would piss me off. But oddly, it didn't. There were just so many strange things going on. I wanted to know the truth behind this crow that was getting everyone so worked up that the tiny things no longer bothered me. "Dad, this crow that attacks people, is it a yokai?" "A crow's a crow. They're just birds. But this one's no longer a crow. We have to kill it." "Kill it?" "Look, we're here. It's inside the inner sanctuary. Even if you ask me to explain, I can't. No, it's nothing." My father produced a large key I had no idea he had and unlocked the inner sanctuary, which was, in reality, a rather small place. When he opened the door, the faint smell of ink wafted out. There was no Goshintai inside the building. In fact, there was nothing inside it at all. It was an empty room. "There's nothing here." "Nothing, huh?" "There's nothing." "No, it's because there's nothing here that..." "Eh?" In the dim light of the torch, something set my nerves on edge. There were black splotches all over the brown walls of the inner sanctuary. Maybe there were stains from age. No, that wasn't it. They clearly curved unnaturally. They weren't just on the walls. They went all the way up to the roof as well. It was a picture. A large picture. As though tracing the walls with my light, I looked over it. It started on the wall to my right and extended down to the end, passed through the left wall, and then went up to the roof where it ended. It was a pitch black bird painted in ink. A black nest made by that bird. A pitch black egg being born inside that nest. The egg broke, and from it, blood spouted, and so emerged a pitch black human? The normal humans painted around the figure charged it. To put it another way, they were killing it. Then, finally, that black figure was surrounded by countless spiders, lifting its arms high into the air. It was no longer a matter of belief or disbelief. That had long passed. but even I knew just from looking at the picture that it hadn't been painted by a regular person. This picture is creepy as hell. There's a stone monument at the shrine entrance, right? You probably can't read it fluently, but you're already in high school, so you should at least vaguely understand it. An oral tradition that should not be passed on orally. That's what it says. So that's why they painted a picture, to tell the story. Yes, this might disappoint you, but neither your grandfather nor Tomekitsuan know the true story. But people in the past used to be far more strict than us. I fear the crow more than you do. My father fears it more than I do. And so on. That's just how it is. Meaning, the people who painted the picture saw it as their defense against the monster. Dad, this picture. I think I get what it's trying to tell me, but I also don't really get it. Of course, I didn't either. Well, tell me. What you think when looking at this picture is all that matters. We can't say anything about it. You need to interpret it in your own way. Chat about it at the village drinking parties. Fear it. And as you do this, over and over, you'll also start to think that we need to kill those crows that attack people. But that's the only thing you can say about it out loud. Having said that, my father pointed to the ground. I followed him and shone my torch on the ground, and in two large kanji, a word was written there. Human. Human? Ningen? No, it reads Jinkan. That's what we're about to kill. So, to put it more accurately, it wasn't a crow that attacked humans. The crow was after human hair, and it was after human hair so it could build a nest. That was what I thought. That evening, a large spiderweb had been built in front of one of the village houses. Two support beams had been thrust into the ground, kind of like when you grow mini tomatoes, and the web stood between them. It's like something a weird religious group might do, I said. If people didn't know the reason why, that was likely what they might think. But either way, everyone had strung the web together nicely. People are desperate. If they don't do this, they might die. So you'd be surprised by what you can do in such situations. If that picture is true, the spiders will kill the Jinkan, right? Yeah, that's what everyone thinks. Whoever drew that picture wasn't very smart. They should have written it down instead. That's true, but it's probably because they weren't very smart that they did it that way. My father and I added a large orb spider to the web. My grandfather was helping construct a web at another house. Tomekitsuan is the only one with a spider bigger than ours, huh? I said. Yeah, my father said quietly, and then he went inside to take a shower. It was no surprise that he was quieter than usual. It was to be expected on a day like this. We ended up eating dinner around 9 p.m. that night, but by that time my grandfather still hadn't returned. To be honest, I didn't believe the Jinkan was real at the time, so I absent-mindedly thought that Gramps was still out there, working his heart out.
It's terrible! It got him! It got Tomekitsuan! The Jinkan!
My grandfather burst into the living room, his face pale and shirt covered in fresh blood. My mother and I froze, and Dad slowly put his chopsticks down and scratched his head. First, he urged Gramps to calm down. Dad, what's going on? What's this about Tomekitsuan?
He's dead. Dead, dead. Look, this is his blood. We're done for. It's not the spiders. Spiders can't kill the Jinkan.
Calm down. Where is Tomekitsuan's family? They have a small grandchild, right?
My father did his best to stay calm. He quickly checked the facts as he got fragments of the story out of my panicked grandfather.
His family fled to the community hall. They're safe. I was on watch there and that's why they asked me to go check on him. He'd been killed!
You say he was killed. What was the situation there?
He was full of holes. Blood was spurting out of them.
What on earth had my grandfather seen?
He suddenly threw up on the spot.
We could hear the fire brigade bell nearby. It was a bell to alert the entire village to imminent danger.
We're going to the community hall. We'll all gather there today so we can protect each other.
I didn't know whether it was my grandfather who said that, my father, my mother, or even myself. All I remember is the shock I felt afterwards.
Dad, do you smell something?
Yeah.
Something stinks. I've smelt this same smell recently. It was... not just recently. The day before. It was the smell of death. The smell of a corpse.
Gramps! It's the smell of a dead person!
It's not me. It's coming from outside. My father stood up and rushed to the storage room. My mother remained dumbfounded. She didn't get up to get dressed or anything, just sat on the chair in a stupor. A loud bang on the front door reverberated throughout the house. Gramps and I both turned to look at it. For a moment, everything fell silent.
The Jinkan?
My mother, who had been silent until that point, said quietly. Whatever was on the other side of the door, it wasn't human. The door broke. Only the hall and a sliding door separated us in the living room from the front door. It appeared suddenly, right before us. The Jinkan was real.
It's a monster! The Jinkan!
It was a monster in the shape of a human. Just like the picture in the shrine, it was pitch black. Its rotten body had no left arm, but instead, its right arm moved around abnormally. I have no idea how to describe it. I don't think there is a way to describe it. Did people really think that spiders would kill this thing? Seeing the Jinkan before her, my mother started to panic. Both hands trembled in front of her chest, and she couldn't stand up. The Jinkan's face turned to an unnatural angle, setting its sights on my grandfather instead. Gramps froze on the spot.
Move! Get out of here!
My father filled a bucket with gasoline and splashed it all over the Jinkan. It didn't even twitch, and its feelers reached out for my grandfather. My father lit a match and tossed it, and the creature went up like a human torch and rolled down the hall.
If it's not a ghost, this should kill it. If it can die, this will do it.
Out of breath, my father muttered something that sounded like a spell. The Jinkan rolling around on the ground didn't scream, but rather withered like a balloon losing air, and then disappeared with the flames.
What the hell?
My grandfather fell over and couldn't move. He was elderly, after all. My parents asked me to head over to the community hall and tell everyone what had happened. My father and grandfather put out what was left of the flames, but my mother was in no state to do anything. At first, the other villagers didn't believe me, but once they saw our house and Tomekitsuan's dead body, they had nothing else to say. The next day,
I'm repeating myself, but waking a teenager up at 5 a.m. is no way to start the day. And again, my father shook me awake.
You must be tired. I'm sorry, but we're heading to Doskoi Shrine now.
Is this about what happened yesterday? It was the exact same thing that had happened the morning before. Only this time, my father spoke to me on the way there and explained what we were doing.
That picture, there's something about it that I've long thought. It's not that the spiders killed the Jinkan, but rather, they act as a sign for the Jinkan to attack. Of course, I mentioned this to other people, like your grandfather and Tomekitsuan, but nobody agreed with me. It's strange that not a single other person thought the same way. When you look at that picture, it's almost like the spiders are working for the Jinkan.
When you put it that way, yeah, it does seem like that.
Then we went up to the shrine and looked at the picture again.
Dad, I had a thought just now.
What?
What if the picture actually starts from the roof? If you followed the picture from the right wall, the Jinkan was born from a crow egg as blood spurted everywhere. Then it killed a bunch of people, and in the end, it was attacked by spiders. But what if you started from the roof instead? Accompanied by the spiders, the Jinkan attacked some humans, and in the end, it died with the spurt of blood coming from the black crow's egg. It would be something like that instead.
You're right. It was backwards, my father muttered. The crow that attacks people doesn't give birth to the Jinkan. That crow's egg is what kills the Jinkan. Whether that was true or not, even now I still don't know. Ever since that incident, I haven't even seen a crow that's attacked a person, let alone a Jinkan. But I think it's true because the Jinkan never appeared again after that. It died. This isn't the end of the story. There's still a bit more that followed that incident, but I don't want to make this too long. In the end, our village stopped passing down the legend that we must kill crows who attack people. Rather, more and more adults told their kids to just leave them alone entirely. And the crow chasing festival we held every year disappeared as well. The current village chief is Tomekitsuan's son. And just like his father, everyone fondly calls him Tomekitsuan as well.
Follow up. When is Tomekitsuan's funeral? I asked.
Today. I don't think we'll be able to do it tomorrow. On our way back from the shrine, my father and I were worried about the chief's funeral. I hadn't seen him myself, but apparently my dad had gone over to see his horrific corpse the night before. His relatives will be coming to the funeral as well. I think you already know this, but make sure you don't say a thing about any of this. There's no need to tell anyone who lives outside the village about it, and you can't verbally say anything anyway.
Why?
Don't make me say it. You know why.
Ah, it was that whole oral tradition that can't be told orally, right?
How stupid. Tomekitsuan had died because of that. Why couldn't we say anything out loud?
There's got to be a reason for it, my father said to me kindly, as though reading my mind.
We've got to get the house back in order. I should have used kerosene rather than gas.
At first, I thought you were running away. You ran off without a word to the storeroom.
Don't be stupid. You weren't the only one there. Your mum and grandpa were there too. I couldn't just run off alone.
I was kidding, of course. Even if my father and I were the only ones there, I didn't believe that he would have run off by himself.
When we got home, the local police officer was waiting by our front door. He seemed rather upset, and cigarette butts littered his feet. My dad had a habit of calling him Akabozu, the Red Monk.
He always wore a red inner shirt and was bald. So, you know. How can I put it? To put it kindly, he and my father didn't really get along.
Oi, Akabozu, that's my property. Quit smoking on it.
I heard that they were classmates, but that day my father had one up on him. The night before, the first person to flee to the community hall in terror had been the police officer.
What the hell do you want this early? Go do your job.
Shut up. I don't want to be here either. The officer took a cigarette out and lit it, taking a deep puff before blowing the smoke in my father's direction. At that moment, I hated him too.
Akabozu, if you leave right now, I'll forget you were ever here. Go back to the station or whatever you crawled out of. I showed you around our house last night, didn't I? Quit acting like you're actually an officer of the law now.
How long are you going to keep treating me like I'm a fool? I'm from this village too, you know. I saw how Tomekitsuan died. I know what killed him, and there's something I need to ask your dad. But he won't come outside, so I've been waiting for you to get back. And what's up with your wife? She says she doesn't remember a single thing that happened yesterday.
Leave.
It was refreshing to see my father fight back to the man talking down to him, but slowly their voices got quieter and quieter until I couldn't hear them anymore. My father's expression changed, and he stole glances at me while the officer continued smoking.
Look, just get out of my face. I didn't see anything, so I'm not gonna say anything. I'll check with Dad myself.
Fine, then I'll leave. The officer didn't look happy, but he knew he wasn't going to get anywhere with my father, so he threw his cigarette at his feet, rubbed his hands together, and then left. By lunchtime, my grandfather still hadn't come out of his room. And as for my mother, well, she really claimed not to remember anything from the day before. Otherwise, I think she wouldn't have left her room either.
Really? Well, if not, the house wouldn't be burnt then, I guess.
After lunch, my father and I made our way towards the forest. At first, I thought we were heading to the local carpenter's house, because his name means forest, but that wasn't the case.
Dad, when you said we were going over there, I didn't think you meant the actual forest. You need to be more clear when you speak.
We're heading to the forest where the crow was seen.
Are we gonna look for it?
I want to check something.
I stopped dead in my tracks in front of the forest. So many things had happened in such a short amount of time that I forgot about them entirely until they flared to life in my mind again. Yeah, inside this forest was a dead body hanging from a tree. Honestly, I really didn't want to smell that stench of death again.
Looks like Akabozu is actually doing some work for once. He apparently got rid of the dead body the day before last.
I was worried about whether that was actually true or not, but I decided to believe my father and followed him in.
Listen carefully. Don't try to search right above your head. Only look diagonally up, okay?
Okay, don't worry. I'm good at finding birds' nests.
I was bluffing, but try to imagine how hard it is to find a single bird's nest in a forest, on top of what had gone on in that same forest over the last few days. I was petrified.
I don't see any crows.
Because there aren't that many tall trees here. Crows like to build their nests in the really big ones.
Doesn't that mean we won't be able to find a nest then?
If we can't find one, then we can't find one. But we're gonna look anyway. I did as my father warned me and only looked up diagonally. And finally, I found a black nest. To my surprise, there was a clump of hair on a branch that even I could reach if I tried.
Is this it?
There was no need to wonder. It clearly was.
There really was a glossy, pitch-black egg inside the nest, made entirely of hair. It looked handmade. It was about the same size as a chicken egg. You found it. Good job. Only because I had to. When your life is on the line, you'd be surprised by the things you can do, huh? I'd heard something like that not long ago, although I didn't really understand those words at the time. We took the egg home. Gramps was finally out of his room by the time we got back, but he screamed when he saw the egg and locked himself inside again. We're gonna break it.
Break it?
Yes. If we follow what that picture in the shrine says, if we break this egg, that's the end of the Jinkan. Although, if he truly burnt to death in the gasoline, then all the better. I'm scared. What if the Jinkan actually comes out of the egg? My father grinned. He knew I'd say something like that. The fact that this egg isn't broken is proof enough. The Jinkan wasn't born from a crow's egg. But I wonder what's inside. What could be in there? My father slammed his fist down on top of the egg. It shattered so violently that even he was surprised. It's empty. It wouldn't break like that if that were the case. No, it's really empty. Look, my hand is clean.
Hey, what did you do to the floor?
At that moment, my mother came tiptoeing into the living room. Did you spill paint in the hall? It's covered in something black. My father and I looked at each other and nodded. So that was it, huh? Yeah, we spilt some paint, he said, trying not to worry her. The blackness didn't smell. There was no smell at all. That night, my father quietly told me something. That Akabozu asshole came over this morning, right? He told me that the body found hanging in the forest was missing its left arm all along. It's all over now, so don't say anything to your grandfather. I nodded, and that night I fell into a deep sleep. The entire village came out for Tomekitsuan's funeral. His relatives also came, but they weren't allowed to see the body. Everyone told them that he'd died in a horrifically unlucky accident. After a bunch of twists and turns, the painting in Dosukoi Shrine was painted over. The local carpenter and police officer did it. Although he was a rough-looking guy, my father was impressed by how delicate his paintwork was. There was only one thing that really changed. A splendid Goshintai was added to the formerly empty inner sanctuary of Dosukoi Shrine. It was a beautiful, pitch-black egg that looked to be handmade. Because you see, my father and I found two eggs that day. The oral tradition that can't be passed down orally. If the Jinkan is unable to ever appear again, then Dosukoi Shrine will remain nothing more than a regular shrine. We won't tell anyone about it. So, it'll have to. This particular story still stirs up quite a bit of discussion in Japan, and it's popular not just for its well-told story and terrifying monster, but the fact that it gives you tantalizing hints throughout the story for some questions that it ultimately never answers. It leaves you to put things together for yourself without hitting you over the head with the answers. If you want to discuss some of these points yourself, come join us in the Koabana Discord. You can find the link in the episode description or on koabana.net. To round out this week's crow theme, our final story is a look at a girl who seems to possess a strange power to speak to crows. But it doesn't end there. Find out why in The Crow's Protection. The other day, I had a rather amazing coincidence. Or rather, a strange and interesting story. So let me tell you about it.
I was drinking at a bar in the city with a few customers from work, and we went from talking about the trash to crows. Crows are scary. Crows are smart. They're cute when they take to you, etc., etc. We talked about all sorts of things. One customer told a story about the funeral of an old man who lived alone and often fed the crows, and I told them about a classmate from my elementary school days who said she could speak to crows. I lived on the shore of the Sea of Japan until partway through elementary school, and there were rumors about a girl in my grade. Apparently, when she was in kindergarten, she got lost one day, and while she was crying, a crow flew down to her. "Your father is over there," it said several times, pointing in the direction with its beak. When the girl went over, her father really was there. When she told her father this, he said, "Well then, we should go over and tell Mr. Crow thank you." They returned the way the girl had come, and the crow was apparently sitting on a fence nearby. The father and daughter lowered their heads and said, "Thank you very much." "No problem," the crow said, and then flew away. After that, the girl took to greeting and talking to any crows she came across. She used to tell everyone about it, but once she entered elementary school and the other kids made fun of her for it, she stopped. Yet the classmates who made fun of her found themselves under attack by a large mass of crows on their way home from school that day, and the next morning on their way in as well. So apparently, they apologized to the girl. I was in a different class, but I remember being frightened that day by so many crows surrounding the school. Then one of the other customers, a rather young woman, remembered her own story. "I'm from the same prefecture as you, and there was a legend about crows in our high school." According to the woman, a crow kamisama lived at her school, and this crow would pick one of the girls to become its friend. This student would be able to talk to crows, and for becoming the kamisama's friend, this person would avoid all disasters for the next 3 years and graduate with great marks as well. But during those 3 years, this girl wouldn't be allowed to date, otherwise she would be cursed. So people didn't really envy the person who was picked. When she was done with her story, a businessman drinking at the next table over started talking to us. "I'm from that same high school, but wasn't the kid who could talk to crows in elementary school named?" I sadly didn't remember the girl's name, but as we talked, I realized the businessman was in the same grade as me. After confirming this was true, the man continued with his own story. Apparently, that legend didn't exist when he was in high school, but there was a girl in his grade that the others called the Crow Girl, and she was possibly the same person I knew from elementary school. She was a smart but rather plain student. There were rumors that anyone who bullied her would get attacked by a flock of crows. And apparently, when she'd gotten lost on a junior high school trip, she found her way back thanks to the local crows. So she was probably the origin of the high school legend. Then one day, during gym class, their class was apparently outside on the school oval, but a drenched crow landed on the railing outside their class. Some students noticed it looking into the room, and there was a big fuss. It was such a strange sight that class was interrupted when everyone ran over to look at it. When they got back to the classroom, they found the hall in front of it full of crows. They were attacking a boy on the ground. As everyone arrived, the crows all flew out the window, but they stopped to sit on the nearby trees and telephone poles just outside and continued watching everyone, frightening them. That boy was in the same grade, but from a different class, and apparently he'd snuck out of his class and into their room, but when he went in, he noticed the windows were full of crows. He tried to run, but when he got to the hallway, the birds surrounded him and he couldn't move. He ended up transferring to another school after that,
but nobody knew why he was trying to sneak into another classroom to begin with. All he ever said himself was, "No special reason," or, "I just wanted to leave a love letter." Yet there were rumors that some girls' gym clothes had gone missing from the classroom before, so it was possible that he was also the culprit.
If you'd like to chat about this week's stories, come and join us in the Koabunna Discord. You can find that link in the description or on koabunna.net. And don't forget to check out our Patreon at patreon.com/TaraA Devlin for exclusive bonus stories all this month, or our YouTube channel at youtube.com/KoabunnaJapan for all sorts of Japanese horror you won't find anywhere else. Thanks, guys. Stay safe. And I'll see you again next time for even more Koabunna, true Japanese scary stories from around the internet.
Want even more scary stories? Head over to koabunna.net for new translations every week. You can also join our Patreon for exclusive stories you won't find anywhere else. Head over to koabunna.net now.